Ukraine security issue.
April 25th, the 61st day of Ukraine's heroic resistance to Russian invaders, saw their intensified attacks on Ukrainian positions in the Donbas, as well as new missile strikes on peaceful cities across the country. In particular, Russian cruise missiles hit railway infrastructure in five locations in the Vinnytsia, Rivne and Lviv regions, causing civilian casualties and complicating rail traffic. On Sunday, the city of Kremenchuk, Poltava region, suffered the heaviest missile strike since Russia unleashed the war against Ukraine. According to Mayor Dmytro Lunin, nine Russian cruise missiles hit an oil refinery and a thermal power station. One civilian was killed and seven were wounded. In the Donbas, which remains the epicenter of fighting, the Russians constantly shell Ukrainian army positions, as well as towns and villages, killing and wounding peaceful civilians every day. The worst situation is in the Azovport city of Mariupol that has been completely blocked for 8 weeks. The Russians keep shelling, bombing, and storming the premises of the local steel plant, the last stronghold of the Ukrainian defenders of Mariupol. There are about 1,000 civilians hiding in the plant basements. Many of them have not seen the sunlight for weeks. There is almost no water left, and the civilians are on the fatal brink. But the Russians refuse to cease fire even for several hours for evacuation. Vice Premier Irina Vereshchuk confirmed that there was no evacuation on Monday and said that Kyiv appealed to UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, asking him to initiate a humanitarian corridor for the unfortunate civilians. The Ukrainian intelligence reported on Monday that the Russians intend to use chemical weapons in order to force the Ukrainian soldiers and civilians out. According to the report, they plan to drop bombs and fire artillery shells with warfare agents on the plant premises. On the ground, Russian troops also plan to spray warfare agents. Olena and her children were lucky to survive the blockade and shelling of Mariupol. They were among the latest few evacuees. She told reporters that it was a narrow escape. Bombs exploded very near and I heard cries around. We hoped it would be all over soon, but it wasn't. On the 2nd of March, there were no communications anymore. We didn't know what was happening in the country and we couldn't go outside because of constant shelling. One day, finally, we left our house and walked 5 kilometers or so until a car picked us up. We reached the village of Manhush near Mariupol, but it was full of Russian troops and they only allowed people to go to Donetsk, which is occupied. In fact, it would have meant deportation. They didn't let anyone go to the free Ukrainian territory. Luckily, we boarded a Red Cross bus that was bound for Berdyansk. It was small and very many people wanted to get over to the Ukrainian side, but we managed somehow to squeeze into the bus, said Olena, a lucky evacuee from Mariupol. According to Prosecutor General Irina Venediktova, 5,730 Ukrainians have been forcefully deported to Russia and the Russian-occupied parts of Ukraine. The figure is not final and needs to be verified. Besides, the number of Ukrainians deported from Mariupol is unknown, but it may exceed 33,000, Venediktova said, citing the Donetsk regional authorities. According to Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba, at least 2,389 Ukrainian children have been forcefully deported to Russia. The Russian army is evidently gearing up for an assault on the southeastern city of Zaporizhia. They have amassed a lot of troops and weapons, but our line of defense is very strong and we're reinforcing it, says Oleksandr Staruch, head of the Zaporizhia Region Military Administration. According to him, construction workers from the western regions are helping the local ones to build more fortifications. They are digging dozens of kilometers of ditches and trenches, building recessed shelters and fortifying our firing positions, Staruch said. The guys use their machines and equipment that they brought from the Rivne region, and we're expecting more hands from the central regions of the country that will also help defend it here on the approaches to Zaporizhia, said Oleksandr Staruch. every day, square foot by square foot, Ukrainian deminers and bomb disposal engineers clear this land of unexploded ordnance landmines and pull action grenades left behind by retreating Russian troops. As of April 25th, they had demined more than 13,000 hectares of land, which is almost 20,000 football fields. According to First Deputy Interior Minister Yevhen Yenin, they have found a total of 75,000 explosive objects, including 2,000 aerial bombs. Currently, the major efforts are focused on clearing the liberated Kyiv, Chernihiv and Sumy regions and on eliminating the consequences of shelling in the Kharkiv, Zaporizhia and Mykolaiv regions. In the Kyiv region alone, national police bomb squads have found, defused and disposed of almost 5,000 lethal objects. The Russians literally sowed the towns and villages they occupied with mines. This method is cheap, simple and effective. They also left mines and pull-action grenades in apartments and private houses, aiming to kill civilians. Peaceful civilians are their targets as well, said First Deputy Interior Minister Yevhen Yenin. In a frenzy of recklessly indiscriminate shelling, the Russians jeopardized global nuclear safety. On Monday, Russian cruise missiles flew critically low over the Khmelnytsky nuclear power plant. The state nuclear power agency Energoatom said in a statement that in pursuit of their bloodthirsty goal of destroying Ukrainian cities and villages, the Russians may well cause a global nuclear disaster. Energoatom reminds that this is not the first time they have done so. Recently, their cruise missiles targeting Kherson flew over a nuclear power plant located near the city. The probability of one of the reactors being hit was very high, and consequences would have been unpredictable.